Chapter 15, chapter entitled King Prithu's Appearance and Coronation, text number 17 onwards. Dasha Chandram Masimrudra Shata Chandram Tatambika Samomrita Mayanashwan Twashta Rupa Shrayam Ratam Dasha Chandram Masimrudra Shata Chandram Tatambika Somomrita Mayanashwam Twashta Rupa Shrayam Ratam Dasha Chandram Asimrudra Shata Chandram Tatambika Somomrita Mayanashwam Twashta Rupa Shrayam Ratam Dasha Chandram decorated with 10 moons. Asim, sword. Rudra, Lord Shiva. Shata Chandram, decorated with 100 moons. Tita, in that manner. Ambika, the goddess Durga. Soma, the moon demigod. Amrita Mayan, made of nectar. Aishwan, horses. Twashta, demigod. Sorry, the demigod Vishwakarma. Rupa Ashrayam, very beautiful. Ratam, a chariot. Translation and purpose by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Text 17. Lord Shiva presented him with a sword within a sheath marked with 10 moons, and his wife, the goddess Durga, presented him with a shield marked with 100 moons. The moon demigod presented him with horses made of nectar, and the demigod Vishwakarma presented him with a very beautiful chariot. Text 18. The demigod of fire, Agni, presented him with a bow made of horns of goats and cows. The sun god presented him with arrows as brilliant as sunshine. The predominating deity of Buraloka presented him with slippers full of mystic power. The demigods from outer space brought him presentations of flowers again and again. Purport. This verse describes that the king's slippers were invested with mystic powers, Paduke, Yogamayo. Thus, as soon as the king placed his feet in the slippers, they would immediately carry him wherever he desired. Mystic yogis can transfer themselves from one place to another whenever they desire. A similar power was invested in the slippers of King Prithu. Omagyan Timbadandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurinilitam Jena Tasmaya Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Dadati Swa Padantikam Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this chapter is describing the appearance of King Prithu and his wife. What's his wife's name? Archie. Yeah. So they are living entities, jivas, but jivas who are empowered with the potency of God. So it's called Shakya Vesh. Avesh, like Vesha means like a dress or clothing or covering. Shakti means potency or power. So it means it's a living entity, it's a jiva, who is empowered with the potency of God. So it's like covering the living entity. So then they can do things which a normal living entity could not do, an ordinary person could not do, because we are limited. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he says, I am the ability in man. Which means when we do something, Krishna gives us the ability to do it. If Krishna doesn't give you the ability, then you can't do the thing. Just like, you know, if I want to pick up my watch, I can only do that because Krishna is allowing it. So we have that saying, man proposes, God disposes. So, you know, I want, my desire is to lift my hand. To show all of you independence, like that's what I'm showing you, giving you an example. But Krishna sanctions that. If Krishna says, no, you're not lifting your hand, then I just lift. And sometimes that happens. We want to do something, we can't do it. So, at other times, we can do things which are well beyond our ability. We know that in Krishna's service. Srila Prabhupada said, in Krishna's service, we should perform Herculean tasks. You should do things which are extraordinary for Krishna. Prabhupada said, I have a disease. I don't know how to think small. So why should we think small? Prabhupada did not think small. You look at everything that Prabhupada has done and did. Just like you go to Mayapur, you see the temple which is being built. You know, it's the biggest dome in the world. Even bigger than the Vatican. You know, St. Paul, St. Peter's, even bigger. You know, so Prabhupada, I mean, who has a vision to do these things? You know? So sometimes we have a desire to do something. But unless Krishna gives you the ability and the fulfillment, you cannot fulfill that desire. So Shakya Vesh means that Krishna is directly giving Shakti. And when Krishna gives Shakti, then a jiva can do things which normally would be beyond him. And most of us should have that experience. You know, we've done services. When you're given the service, you think, how can I do it? How is that possible that I can do that seva? We always think like that. How is it possible that I can do that? Srila Prabhupada said that within the instruction of the spiritual master comes the desire, comes the ability to fulfill the instruction. So when the guru gives you an instruction, the guru says, go and do this service, go and do this seva, then within the instruction, the guru also gives the ability to fulfill the order. It is there. Right? And sometimes we feel like that. The guru says, go and do something. Right? And we think, how am I possibly going to do that? But he gives the ability within the instruction to. So technically, it's not you who is doing it. Your only credit, the only credit we have, is that we try. We desire to fulfill the instruction of the guru, but the actual potency to do it, that comes from the spiritual energy, ultimately from Krishna, working through the guru. Prabhupada would do that many times to his disciples. Right? He would do it many times. He gave them instructions that were very difficult. 1970, 71, 72. You know, Prabhupada was traveling around India with, say, 40 Western disciples. So they travel by train. Get on the train, they're moving through. So they were going through Delhi, the capital of India. So then the train pulls up. And Prabhupada had like, you know, maybe 30, 40 devotees with him. Prabhupada turns around and he looks at four. And he says, get off the train and start a temple. In all seriousness, Prabhupada said like that. So they kind of, you know, picked up their bags, got off on the platform. You know, Prabhupada nodded and the train left. You know, there's four devotees standing there. Prabhupada said, start a temple. So these things practically like impossible, very difficult to do. But within the order of the guru comes the ability to fulfill the order. Now, Prabhupada would give many very difficult orders, but the ability is there. So where does that shakti come from? That shakti comes from Krishna. So that's what a shaktyavesha avatar is. It's a jiva who is given power by God to do something as if God himself were doing it. That's called shaktyavesh. So Prithu Maharaj is a shaktyavesh avatar. He's a jiva. He's a king. But he's given the ability from God himself to do the activity, as if Krishna was ruling. So extremely powerful personality. Not an ordinary. I mean, where did he come from? Where did Prithu Maharaj and Archie, where did they come from? Has anyone read the Bhagavatam? From?
From? Dina's body.
From the body, yeah. The Brahmanas took a churning rod, like a, you know, piece of... they took a churning rod, like a piece of wood, like that, and they touched the body and began to move it. And then a person comes out. You imagine one of the brahmacharis is in the ashram sleeping, you come and... they're not that powerful. Well, these brahmacharis are not that powerful. You cannot produce something. Come on. Another book distributed this goes. We wish we could do like that. Does not take place. They're extremely powerful. Well, they're churning and then suddenly Archie comes, Prithu Maharaj comes. Shaktyavesha avatars. Not ordinary people. And then you read this description. Because they're not ordinary, they are recognized by all the demigods. The demigods recognize them. So the demigods give gifts. Prabhupada himself could be, and you know, devotees have said, could be considered like a Shaktyavesha avatar. Like a jiva who was given so much potency by God, as if God himself is pretty special power. Like that. Not like an ordinary person. And actually, Prabhupada said on different occasions he would be giving lectures. One time he was in England, and they organized a program for Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada went, and no one came. Very rare, but no one came. There was no one there. So Prabhupada gave the lecture, just the devotees there gave the lecture. And then afterwards the devotees apologized and said to Prabhupada, we're sorry, no one came, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, no, no. The demigods were there. The demigods had come to listen to Prabhupada speak. Yeah. Even in London, one temple is there. Radha Landanishwara. And Prabhupada's favorite deities, actually. They were Prabhupada's favorite deities. First deities, first Radha Krishna, large deities in the West. So, they were Prabhupada's first deities in the West, his favorite. And they were doing Sanja Aarti in the evening. And Srila Prabhupada said, Brahma, Shiva, Narada are coming to witness the Aarti. So by Prabhupada's potency, the demigods are even coming to see. And even to this day, if you go to the little asanas, which are there on the altar, little ones like that, Prabhupada said, keep them there. And he said, Shiva, Narada, Brahma, they will come, they will sit, and whenever there is Aarti, they will sit there and they will witness the Aarti. This is not ordinary. So Prithu Maharaj is not ordinary, so then the demigods are assisting. They say this is a Shakya Vaishavata. So it describes here, he was presented with Chapal. Chapal means?
Shoes.
Yeah, shoes, slippers, like paduka. The predominating deity of Buraloka presented him with slippers full of mystic power. It says Yogamaya. Yogamaya is Krishna's supreme potency. Krishna has unlimited shaktis. So many energies which emanate from Krishna. Actually, if you see pictures of Krishna, whenever you see a picture, he always has halo, right? Like an effulgence. Right? You always see all the pictures. Right? There's always that there. So what is that? What is that light coming? That's Krishna's shakti, his energy, his various shaktis which come. Right? They're all of his energies emanating, just waiting to serve him. And it says the supreme shakti is Yogamaya. Yogamaya is so powerful that in Krishna's pastimes, Krishna allows Yogamaya even to cover him. Just like last night in our Bhakti Vedanta course in the 10th canto, we were studying chapter 69. And in chapter 69, Krishna is in the 10th canto, and Krishna is visited by Narada in Dwarka. So Narada's going around different palaces visiting, and Krishna's in different palaces. He's doing something different in each palace. Different time of day, different leela going on. So he goes to one palace, and Krishna dresses up incognito, just like in the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. Lord Ramachandra, he dressed up. This is what the kings would do, because they would walk around their kingdom, their capital. Lord Ramachandra was walking around Ayodhya, and he dressed up incognito so no one could recognize it was him. And he would listen to what the citizens are saying about him. No? Because if you ask someone, you say, Prabhu, please tell me my faults. Right? People find that very difficult to do. Right? Your really good friends will tell you. You know, if you have some close friends, they'll say, something you should know. But most people won't say it. They'll say, oh, no, Prabhu, you're so nice. Right? Everything is perfect like that. But that's not reality. Right? So most people will not say it. So Ramachandra, he was going around, Lord Ramachandra, and listening. And then he heard one of the Shudras criticized. Oh, his wife went off and had an affair. The wife came back. Said, no, Ramachandra will accept his wife back. She goes off and she is touched by someone, but I will not do that. So when he heard that, then he was very concerned. So he went back and he said to Sita, you have to leave the kingdom, we're being criticized. Yeah. So Krishna also describes last night in the 69th chapter, he was also doing, traveling around. So when Narada saw this, that Krishna is dressing up and disguising himself and going out, he began to laugh. Because it amused him. Because he knows this is Krishna. Savagya. He knows everything. Right? But then he's walking around listening like, you know. So if I know everything, like if I'm Savagya, it means I know what's going on in all of your minds right now. I know what you're thinking right now. That's Savagya. That's Krishna. He knows all that. But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that he's covered by Yoga Maya. So his Sava Gyatwa Shakti is covered by Leela Shakti. Right? Leela Shakti, Yogamaya arranges that. That's his potency. I mean, Yogamaya is facilitating God's pastimes. That's how powerful she is. She facilitates God's pastimes to make him forget so that he can go into the Leela. Otherwise, where's the fun? Krishna's walking around and he's like, he's going to listen to everyone, and he goes, oh, I already know what they're going to say anyway. And then he goes to the next one. Oh, I know what they're going to say. Oh, I'll go around that. No, I already know what they're going to say anyway. So where's the fun? So she covers him so he can actually perform the lila, the pastime. So here it is said that the presiding deity of Buraloka gives Prithu Maharaj some chapal, which are invested with yogamaya potency. Which means, with those, you put those shoes on, you can go anywhere in the universe you want. You just put those shoes on, then you can just be there. Hands up if you would like a pair of shoes like that. If you go down to Foot Locker in Melbourne, you get the most expensive Nike shoes. They've just come out. They can actually do this. Yeah, it's not possible. We can't get those shoes. Otherwise, you know, imagine those shoes. Just like next week, I'm planning to fly to Mayapur. So it means 14 hours on the plane and then get off and then taxi and, you know. Yeah, I'd rather just have a pair of shoes, just put on and then Mayapur. Right, go to Mayapur for lunch, just put on and go to Mayapur. You know, we're going to have darshan of Radha Madhava, you know, and then come back. You know, we'd love to have those shoes, but no. They're extremely powerful. Right? So this is given to Prithu Maharaj, and yeah, he has this. You know. Why? Why is he given this? To fulfill his service to Krishna. Why would Krishna not give these shoes to us? Because you'd do all sorts of things with those shoes. Yeah, you would not do devotional service. Same thing. Why are we not in the spiritual world now? If you went to the spiritual now, you would cause a lot of problems. That's why we're not there. Because we were there. Yeah, you got back there. You go, wow. Look at this place. Every fruit that you can imagine is growing on the trees. You just think mango and it manifests. Kalpa Vriksha trees. Right? The devotees just go to the trees in the spiritual world. Oh, I want to make Krishna some mango chutney. Mango manifests. Pick it, take it like that. That's how it works in the spiritual world. Imagine if you were there. You'd be thinking all sorts of things. Yeah, you'd be looking at the Kalpa Vriksha tree. Oh, Nike shoes. Oh, you know, Ray-Ban sunglasses. Ah, come on. Levi jeans. Birkenstocks. I wonder, Apple computer. All sorts of things would happen. So Krishna will not let us go there. You would disturb the lila. You'd be sitting there in front of the desire tree all day. Right, and someone say, Haribol, hey, Haribol, come and make some garlands. And you just be like, yeah, just give me 2 minutes. Then Krishna cannot trust us. That's why we're not in the spirit. That's why you're in the material world. So you're in the material world, and you're desiring all these things, but you don't get what you desire. You get the opposite of what you desire. That's the material world. To make you become detached. Just like you go out there and there's one tree in the courtyard, the plum tree is in the middle. So you go out there and you stand in front of the plum tree. Krishna, I want a good wife. And you pray to that plum tree. And then you get a wife who just gives you a headache all the time. That's the material world. Spiritual world, you get what is actually there. Material world, you get the opposite. You look in your life, whatever you desire, you'll get the opposite. Oh, Krishna, I want nice kids. Right? Your kids are monsters. I want a big house. You get a small house. I want a nice car. It breaks down all the time. I know one devotee. He spent $3,000, bought a new television. You know, big like plasma television, big television like that. $3,000. And then he rang me up and he said, there's nothing on television. You know, I worked hard, brought this television, spent $3,000, did all this work, and now I turn it on, there's nothing on. I said, that's why we don't have television. In the material world, you get the opposite. Whatever you want, you get the opposite. That's the material world. Spiritual world, you will get what you desire, but you have to have the right desires. That's why Krishna does not let us back. That's why you're in the material world. Material world key. So you'll stay here. We'll stay in the material world as long as we're attached to the material world. And we are attached. That's the reality. We are attached. So Krishna says, no problem. Stay there. Enjoy yourself. Have a good time. And when you're ready, then you come back and you can serve me. So this avatar is called Shaktyavesh. Shaktyavesh avatar. Actually, Chaitanya Charitamrita describes there are six different types of avatar. Avatar means, like, literally means one who descends, one who comes down. So what are the six types of avatar? Which are they? Very good. You get a free breakfast. You can have extra rasgulla. Six types of avatars are there. So Purusha. What is Purusha? Purusha means the three Purushas. Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, Gaba Dakshaya Vishnu, and Shira Dakshaya Vishnu. Karana Mahavishnu means Karana Dakshaya Vishnu. He is situated in the causal ocean. Right? He is the first of the Vishnus. Actually, the first personality, who is the original personality? Krishna. Krishna is the original. It's actually Krishna in Vrindavan. That is the original form of God. Right? He then expands. His first expansion is Lord Balaram. Then, from Balaram comes Chaturvyuha, Adi Chaturvyuha, which means when Krishna goes to Dwarka and Balaram goes to Dwarka, that is the first Chaturvyuha. Vasudev, which means Krishna in Dwarka. Sankarsana, which means Balaram in Dwarka. Right? Prajumna Aniruddha, which means Krishna's son and grandson. They're the original. And then from Sankarsana, from Balaram and Dwarka, comes Narayan, which means in Vaikuntha. And from Lord Narayan, all the Vaikuntha forms manifest, all the other forms. Okay. And then you have the second Chaturvyuha, which means the presiding deities of Vaikuntha. And then from that Chaturvyuha, from Sankarsana, then comes Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu means now you go into the material world and you have the causal ocean. And that's where Mahavishnu lies and that's where he manifests. So then you'll have the second. The first expansion. That's the Purusha avatar. And then when he breathes, and then the universe is coming out of his pores as he breathes out. Right? Then he enters into every universe as Gavadakshaya Vishnu. Right? And when he enters into the universe, what is the shape of the universe? Yeah, like an egg. Yeah, oval. And so he lies in, and it's like being in a sauna. He begins to perspire. And that perspiration becomes the Gavadaka ocean. It fills up half the universe, and he lays there on Ananta Sesh. And then from his navel comes a lotus. Right? And then on top of that lotus, Lord Brahma manifests. And then within that universe, there is one planet called Sweta Dweep. And on that planet, Shiradakshaya Vishnu. That's a third manifestation, third Purusha. And then he manifests as Supersoul, Paramatma, in every atom in that universe. And whenever the incarnations enter into the universe, they come through Shiradakshaya Vishnu. So that's the Purusha avatars. Any questions? On Purusha avatar? Anything new? Everyone understand? Quite clear. Right? Then, next is Leela avatar. What is a Leela avatar? Perform pastimes. Yeah. Krishna is incarnation. So Krishna is Krishna. If you read in Nectar of Devotion, he has four moods. Dhiradatta, Dhiradatta, Dhiralalita, Dhiraprasanta, like different moods that Krishna has. Right? So when Krishna wants to perform different pastimes or be in a different mood, then he expands himself. That's called Lila avatar. So Lord Ramachandra, that is Krishna in the mood of being a perfect, like, human being. Yeah, he shows the perfect example, Lord Ramachandra. Krishna will sometimes act according to his desires. So he may not always follow social morality perfectly, from an external point of view. He just absorbs himself in his own lila. But Lord Ramachandra, he will always act perfectly. So when Krishna wants to show that, he wants to perform that pastime, then he manifests. Or Nrisimhadev, Nrikeshari, this Nrisimha avatar. That is Krishna when he is angry. When God becomes angry, he turns into a half man, half lion. Just like when we become angry. Right? You look at someone, they're angry, it's like they begin to manifest. It's like you think, oh, they become like ferocious. Krishna becomes so angry when he's angry. And what makes him angry? When his devotees are being mistreated. And he becomes so angry, he turns half lion. Right? And then he grabs Hiranyakashipu and rips him apart. So angry. Even it says one time when he came, and he comes so many times, one time when he comes, he's so big that when he picks up Hiranyakashipu, it says in the Bhagavatam, he puts him on his lap, but he's so big, like Hiranyakashipu is like that big, he rips him with his fingernails, and then he goes, can't even find him. He's so big, so angry, he goes, and he just rips him like that. So Lila avatar. That's a Purusha avatar, Lila avatar, Guna avatar. Guna avatar means the deities who control the modes of nature. What's that? Yeah, who control the modes of nature. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. So who controls the mode of goodness? Lord Vishnu. And then mode of passion is? Lord Brahma. And mode of ignorance is? Lord Shiva. Right? So mode of passion, if you want to create something, you have to get passionate. You have to work hard. Hey Prabhu, wake up. Get off the ground. Start doing something. You have to get a little bit passionate. Right? So Lord Brahma, to create, he has to become passionate. But he doesn't let passion control him. He doesn't become overwhelmed. He just uses it, just like it's like a machine. Like if you pick up a hammer, right? You don't let the hammer control you. You don't go crazy, just start smashing everything. No, you pick it up, you do something with it, and then you put it down. So Rajaguna is like that. Sometimes we have to become a little bit passionate. Like we go to catering jobs, right? You have to go a little bit passionate, but you don't let it control you. Right? You just get work, you do work hard, and then you let go of it. Right? So it's Lord Brahma in control. Lord Shiva is in control of ignorance, because he has to destroy this universe. Destruction, when you destroy something, that's tamasic. That's the mode of ignorance. The same thing. He just usually destroys it, but he's not controlled by it. Lord Shiva is transcendental. And the hardest mode of nature to stay in is the mode of goodness. Mode of goodness means you don't fall asleep in the Bhagavatam class. When you fall asleep, that is the mode of tamogun. The mode of goodness means no. Mode of goodness means you are present. That's the hardest mode to be in. And actually, Srila Prabhupada says, to make advancement in devotional service, you have to do it from the mode of goodness. So we have to rise to the mode of goodness. You have to elevate yourself through ignorance, through passion, get to the mode of goodness. Then you can practice devotional service effectively. Because the spiritual world is Shuddhasattva. Right? It's pure goodness. So we have to practice in this world so we can elevate ourselves. Lord Vishnu is in control of that, because that's the hardest to maintain. So he maintains it. So you have Guna, Purusha, Lila, and then you have Yuga. Yuga avatar means the deity who is in control of the particular yuga, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali. There's a particular avatar who shows the yuga dharma for the process of perfection within the particular age. So in Satya Yuga, you become perfect through? Yeah, like meditation means just sitting there and just meditating on the super soul. Right? That's not easy to do. Yeah. So incarnation comes, he shows that. Whitish incarnation comes, Shukla. Right? And then you have Treta Yuga, right? And you become perfect through? During Jagyas. So then there is one Jagya, one reddish incarnation. He comes, he shows that. In Dwapara Yuga, you become perfect through? Deity worship. And Krishna himself appears in Dwapara Yuga. Sometimes he's said to be like the presiding deity of the Dwapara Yuga. He is there. You can worship him. You can make a deity of him. You can worship him. And then in Kali Yuga, we have to do Nam Sankirtan. Because not all the devotees can easily do deity worship. Actually, Prabhupada prescribes, he recommends that we do both. Deity worship and hearing and chanting. Bhagavad Vidimag, Pancharatriki Vidimag. You have to do both. Because if you do deity worship, it purifies the consciousness and it makes it easier to chant. And vice versa. When you chant nicely, then you can do deity worship in the right consciousness. So both should be there. But especially, because in Kali Yuga, not easy for everyone. Some people find it difficult to do deity worship. Then you can just become perfect by hearing and chanting the holy name of Krishna. Right? And Gauranga himself, Krishna comes again in that pitta, in that yellow form, to teach us how to do that. Just chant the holy name. Actually, Prabhupada says, you can just do sankirtan, hearing and chanting, just chant right in front of Gaudiya, you can go back to Godhead. You don't even have to take second initiation. You can just chant right there in front, in this temple room. Not even walk into the deity room. You can just chant here and you can go back to Krishna. That's how powerful it is. That means you have to chant purely. Chanting purely is not so easy. So Kartik is about to begin next couple of days. Some devotees start tomorrow. Some devotees start on Thursday. I start tomorrow. Your choice, as you do. The temple will start on Thursday. But either Purnima or Pratipat, whatever you prefer. But get ready, because either tomorrow or the next day. And then, what is the point of Kartik? We do extra service. We do extra chanting. We do extra things to purify our consciousness. You know, I'm meditating on Kartik. I want to chant more nicely. Yeah? Increase the quality. One thing I can do in Kartik, one thing if I can achieve, is to increase the quality of my chanting. Chant more purely the holy names of Krishna. No? Kartik is very powerful. 1 month. Right? That month is controlled by the presiding deity. The presiding deity is Srimati Radharani herself. The most merciful personality. Whatever service you do in Kartik, you get thousands of times more benefit. So powerful. So if you chant very sincerely, it's an opportunity to elevate our consciousness very quickly and very rapidly. So we should take advantage. It's coming. Either start tomorrow or the next day, but it is coming. In 1 month. So you know, everyone should take vrata. Vrata means you take some vows. Every day I will come for Mangalati. Every day I would chant 17 rounds or 25 rounds or 32 rounds or 64, whatever you... Every day I would read one chapter of Krishna book. One brahmachari, he used to live here, Bhakti Sabri. He took a vow a few years ago. He would read every verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam in 1 month. I mean, he had to read for 3 or 4 hours a day. He did it. 18,000 verses in 1 month. Read the whole Bhagavatam. Another devotee, Harinama Ananda Prabhu, he's traveling. We try to catch him every time he comes past, but he just keeps traveling. And travels around the world. He took a vow, he would do Harinam every day. Sometimes I think he went out by himself. Just went down to St. Kilda to start chanting on the streets. But he took that brunt, I will do it. So whatever your vow is, you take it. Many years ago, I took the vow I would not eat sweets for the whole month. 1 month, no sweets. Right? I don't do that anymore. That was too austere. I nearly left my body. That was very austere. But I did. But we should do something for Krishna. How do you show your love for him? You make sacrifice. So we have to do something for Krishna. You choose whatever you want to do, but something you have to do. It says in the Shastra, every day you have to offer a lamp. You have to offer the candle, you have to lamp, and you have to sing Dhamma Dharashtika. It says that every day. But many devotees chant multiple ashtikas. Different. Shad Goswami Ashtika, Shikshastika, Dhamma Dharashtika, Brinda Devi Ashtika. Different ashtikas are there. So you choose what you want to do. Your vrat is between you and Krishna, but you should take some vrat to increase your bhakti. So Yuga Avatar, Lila Avatar, Purusha Avatar, Guna Avatar, Manvantara Avatar. Manvantara Avatar means Krishna himself becomes the Manvantara, becomes the Manu, who increases the progeny within the universe. Shakyavesha Avatar means he becomes the personality. He means he gives the power to that particular jiva. What are examples of the Shaktivesha Avatar? Prithu Maharaj, we're reading here. Who else? Parashurama. Kumara. The Kumaras. Narad Muni. Yeah. Different. Rishabh. Rishabh. Yeah. Yeah. Anantashesha. Yeah. But different like that, Shaktivesha. So these are all the different types of avatars. We have to understand, Bhagavatam is a science. You have to understand all these things, because especially you go to, in the West, people don't even know this. Right? You go and knock on the door next door. Right? This is 197, now you go to 195 next door. Go and knock on the door and say, Prabhu. And the man opens the door, you say, Prabhu. You say, what does Prabhu mean? And say, can you please tell me what is the Shaktivesha Avatar? They'll just say, shut the door. People don't even know. But in India, they know all these things. I heard this name, Shakti, but they don't understand it at all. Everything is kitchery in India. Just get all the avatars, throw them in the pot, just mix it up. No one knows. No one understands. That's the problem. They don't understand. Don't understand the science of God. ISKCON devotees have to understand it very well. You have to know which avatar is which. There are six types. Who is who? How does everyone relate to everyone? Shiva is not the same as Krishna. You go to India, you're like, oh, Krishna, Shiva, Brahma, all is one. Krishna, Shiva. They don't have no idea what they're talking about whatsoever. You know, I was sitting on the train going from Calcutta to Jagannath Puri, and one man, he's sitting up, he sees we're dressed like, you know, devotees, so he starts to give us the absolute truth. He's going to teach us. So we're sitting there, myself and Radha Raman Prabhu, Sri Radha Raman, Purujan Prabhu's disciple. So we're sitting there. He was sitting there, I was sitting there, and then this man starts preaching to us. And Radha Raman says, looks at me and he said, you want to deal with this or should I deal with it? I said, you deal with it, because I was just chanting my rounds. I didn't want to get into this guy. So he had to correct him. He's saying all these things. Jagannath is, you know, he had no idea what he was talking about. This is the problem. In the West, people are attached to karma, sense gratification. In the East, they're confused by jnana. So, jnana and karma, they overcome bhakti. In ISKCON, bhakti is prominent. Karma and jnana are subsidiary. We have the right understanding. And we have to teach the whole world what is correct. So we have to understand this science very carefully. Everyone has to become a scholar. What was Prabhupada's title? Bhakti Vedanta. Bhakti Vedanta. His godbrothers gave him that title. Right? Abhay Charanaravinda. Bhakti Vedanta. He was given that title. Why? Because he's very learned. We have to become like that. Prabhupada wants all of us to become. We have to get Bhakti Shastri. Bhakti Vaibhava. Bhakti Vedanta. And then maybe one day Bhakti Sala. We have to know the Shastra. So someone comes here, we say, this is not correct. What you're saying is not correct. You have to understand it like this. Based on the authority of the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is the authority. It's the final authority, actually. So we have to learn these things. Otherwise, everyone's confused. Okay. So we'll stop here. We'll see if there's any question or comment before we discuss.
We talked about three Purusha avatars, and we also talked about Guna avatar, Vishnu. So which of these Guna avatar, Vishnu is about the three Purusha avatars or the fourth one?
Both. He's a Purusha avatar. He's also a Guna avatar. So it's both. Yeah, you can say like that. Particularly, you would say Garbhadakshaya Vishnu and Chiradakshaya Vishnu. Because Karanadakshaya Vishnu is more outside the universe. He doesn't get so involved inside the universe. So, like that. Yeah, Mamantara just said very quickly. I only just discussed it very quickly. Mamantara is a little technical. Bhanu Swami gives a very nice description about Mamantara. He goes a bit deeper into the subject.
When you were speaking about three different modes of material nature, you said that sometimes we get into more passion and we should use it but not get used by it. Just because a person is very active, it doesn't mean that it's more passion. Because, I mean,
reactive, it's how you do it, that's the point. How you do it. Just like you see Prabhupada. Right? Prabhupada was very active for Krishna, but he was always very composed, right? And very equipoised. Mode of goodness means you're doing a lot, but you're very calm and very peaceful. Right? When someone's in the mode of passion, everything becomes like, you know. You see, in the mode of passion, everything's always running late. No? Devotees are doing so much, but they're always rushing. Oh, I've got to do this. Did you ever see Prabhupada running somewhere? Prabhupada was never. No, Prabhupada was always very composed. Right? He's always punctual. He's always on time. He's always doing everything. Very active, but everything was very controlled. Yeah? Mode of passion means that, you know, our disposition changes. So we have to avoid that. We have to be active for Krishna, but active from the mode of goodness. Because when you become too much controlled by the mode of passion, you start becoming angry at everyone and offending people and like that. So you have to be careful how you act. Be active, but still in the mode of goodness. Does it make sense?
Yeah. Do you have some advice? Like, I think I asked you before, but do you have some advice how to come to the platform of the mode of goodness?
You come to the platform of the mode of goodness by following sadhana bhakti. Rising early, primarily. That will bring you into the mode of goodness. If you have good sadhana and you like that, and then it means having a balanced program. Sometimes we get so much service that it's hard to maintain the mode of goodness because you either become too tired or you have to become too passionate. So then you have to speak to your authorities and say, you know, Prabhu, I need a bit more balance here. Sometimes Prabhupada calls it emergency. So sometimes it's emergency. We have to like you go on a catering job. It's kind of like an emergency. It's only six of you, you have to cook. It's like, you know, it's like, so for those 3 or 4 days, you have to get really intense, you know, and you have to just push yourself. But then when you come back, you have to have a more balanced program. So, yeah, you can't be like passionate just all the time. It's not good for devotional service. And you become too tired and you might burn out. Makes sense. Yes, Mataji.
The way we get attached and the way we will depends on what kind of sex object and we enjoy material world and what kind of activities. Everything in the material world is divided in mode of passion, mode of ignorance, and mode of goodness. All the activities, all the sense objects are divided in these groups. And if you enjoy the sense objects in the mode of ignorance, for example, meat, alcohol, drugs, you will get attached to the mode of ignorance, you will experience the effect of that mode. And you, your heart will be tainted to the mode of ignorance.
Yeah.
With the, when we do activities, as you mentioned, rising up early in the morning, enjoying the, for example, food in mode of, in mode of goodness, enjoying music, music can be a mode of goodness, we attach to transcendental sense objects. We don't get attached to the mode of goodness, but that's just for sake of saying, we have music in mode of goodness. And so whatever, with our choices we make through our activities and whatever sense objects we decide to enjoy, that will determine what mode we are going to be on. It depends on our choices and our activities. And we say, and we know, we may, from previous lives, we may have been tainted with mode of ignorance, mode of passion, and by engaging in the mode of goodness activities and or transcendental activities, so gradually the modes of passion and ignorance they disappear.
Yeah. Hey, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sangat Sanjayate Karma. Karma means your desires. It comes from your association. Whoever you associate with, and that's what you become. Hiranyakashipu said that. He did. He said to Prahlad, Prahlad was becoming a devotee, he said, be very careful of your association. Because whoever you associate with, you will become. It's true. Whoever you associate with, that's what you become. So you have to be very careful who you associate with. If you want to become a devotee, you have to associate with devotees.
That's also association with the sense objects through all the five senses.
Yeah. Any other question?
So you mentioned before about the yoga avatar. So if yoga avatar teaches the yoga dharma. So when Krishna appeared in the last yoga, he did not really
Was yeah, there's another incarnation, another form, which comes, which is teaching that. But in one sense, Krishna is the yuga avatar also because he is the deity. So he's teaching deity worship. Because you see, he's the Supreme Lord. So we'll make a deity of him, and then we'll begin to serve him according to the Pancharatra system. But there's also like a particular incarnation who comes who can also teach. Krishna also. Krishna did deity worship also while he was here. Mm-hmm. So he was teaching in Dwarka and he is teaching deity worship.
He had a deity of Dwarka, right?
In Vrindavan, in underground, his father would worship a deity of Lord Narayana. So it was like part of their home deity worship. But they would cook. They would cook in the morning. Mother Yashoda would cook. And then they offer the bhoga to Lord Narayan. And then comes prasad. And then they offer the prasad to Krishna. So Krishna, you know, he, in his leela, that he enjoys playing along to the whole thing. Actually, he's the source of it. You can just offer straight to him. But that's the system. They don't, because everyone's covered by the Lila Shakti Yoga Maya, they don't see him as being God. So.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Kali Yuga and the Yuga Dharma, and you said Nama Sankirtana, and so performing the chanting of all the name together. So performing Nama Sankirtana here in the temple is enough to go back to God. So why should we perform it on the streets as well? Why desire that? Asked to do that.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desired that. Yeah. So you can take everyone back with you. Don't just liberate yourself, but liberate everyone else. Don't just be worried about yourself. If you're worried about yourself, that's called bhajananandi. Then you're concerned about your spiritual advancement. But our lineage, our tradition is Goshtya Nandi, which means we're interested in preaching. We want others to become Krishna conscious. But when you help others become Krishna conscious, then you become Krishna conscious. So like if you're chanting here, you're feeling very ecstatic, like Gaur Purnima in the morning, we're having kirtan, feeling very ecstatic, then the feeling comes, let's take this out to everyone. So then we go out and we distribute to everyone else as well.
Is there a restriction in terms of performing that on the street? Do you have to be, because obviously like I consider myself like a beginner and I don't have like a taste for learning, but do we require that first, perform the sadhana, and then when we feel something is happening, then we can share it? Or is it allowed to go and chant? And is there?
What do you think?
I suppose think both, because I go on the street, but sometimes I feel nothing inside, so like I feel like I'm doing nothing on the street.
Yeah, so then you have to follow the order of the spiritual master. How do you make advancement in spiritual life? You follow the order of the guru. What's the instruction of the guru? He chants 16 rounds every day. He took a vow, right? 16 rounds every day. So now you're following the instruction of the guru. And the guru's instruction is that you give the holy name to others. So you go out on the street and you give it to others. So both things, you're following the instruction of the guru. If you do that, the taste will come. You have to cultivate the taste. Devotees shouldn't say that. Actually, devotees should never say, I don't have any taste for chanting. If you don't have any taste for chanting, that means you have to seriously look at your spiritual life and you have to work. Right? Because every devotee should have a taste for chanting. Okay, sometimes we struggle, like 16 rounds, like, fine, oh, you know, that's difficult. But it shouldn't be like that every day. It shouldn't be like that all the time. There should be, most of the time, actually, we should be enjoying it. We should be getting a taste. If you chant 16 rounds, you don't get any taste, there's something seriously wrong with your application of the process. Right? Because there's nothing wrong with the holy name. The holy name is full of bliss. Right? It is non-different from Krishna. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. It's Rasa Vigraha. So you're chanting. Prabhupada says Radha and Krishna are dancing on your tongue. So if we're feeling like we don't have any taste, then, you know, especially when you're on a Harinam or something, you should feel ecstatic, you should feel blissful. You know, you should run up the walls and then run along the roof and then go down. You know, like Lord Nityananda's associates. You know, they were chanting. They used to run up the trees, right, and go on the branches and come down. Sometimes they would lift the whole tree and pull it out of the ground, like, and drop it on the ground. So you should be like that in Swanston Street. And go down Swanston Street and grab one of those trees and boom, drop on the ground. Right, and then you call out to the Lord Mayor. Hey! Hey! Come and chant. Holy name. Hare Krishna. Everybody, chant holy name. So you should be in ecstasy. Why miss the boat? You know, you're chanting 16 rounds every day, so I got no taste, then what are you doing? You know, go and become a Buddhist. You know, go and sit in the Buddha ashram. You know, go and do that. If you're going to chant, then get a taste for the chant. Don't waste time. Especially Kartik is coming. You should be in ecstasy from the chant. You know. Okay. Any other questions?
I was just thinking about reflecting on the mode of passionate things and mode of goodness. The difference between that is that mode of passion, they do a lot of activities and they achieve less. Mode of goodness, they're more efficient, they do less activities, they achieve more because their intelligence and their organization is much better. The other thing, the difference to which even for the same activity, two people, they can perform same activity, but the difference is one can be mode of passion, one can be mode of goodness, depending on the motives of the person. So if the activity is driven by the personal desire, me, mine, and for some gain or some safety, that's why Krishna says, abandon all endeavors for gain and safety, that will be in mode of passion. Mode of goodness is when you do perform your duty because it's the right thing to do, and when you perform your duty. So that can, that's the difference as well when we can judge. And that's why usually mode of passion activities end up in frustration and how we say all the activities in mode of passion end up with misery. It persists in enjoyment, and because we do it for our personal things. And that's not how it works. Constitutionally, we cannot get satisfaction by trying to please ourselves. And we all want to get that satisfaction.
Good. Any other points?
Maybe you spoke about how we are in the morning of our progress. We did a morning program, but by the evening we come like, okay, we've done everything in the morning, and maybe some reading as well later. But by the end of the day, we feel like, okay, I'm again on the zero level, because the morning responsibility is nothing to do in the morning. Even if you have time, you don't want to do it.
What's the point?
Okay, everything is finished in the morning. I know we should chant morning to the spare time, but it doesn't come, like, we don't want to do it. How to develop that, okay? Even my quota is done, how to keep doing more and more?
Yeah, Prabhupada says, he talks about the ISKCON sandwich, so it means there has to be spiritual life or sadhana. There has to be sadhana in the morning and the evening. So in the evening you can read, you can read, or if there's a program in the temple, come to the temple, do some sanja arti, do some kirtan, or like that. Or chant some japa, or whatever it is. Do some deity worship, and come and worship the deities in the evening, like that. So there should be sadhana in the morning and in the evening. Daytime we do preaching activity, or if you have to go to work, you go to work, do whatever you do. But in the morning and the evening, there has to be some sadhana. So you remember Krishna. Prabhupada says, if you read Krishna book before you go to bed, you will dream of Krishna. I've been doing that for many years. I've never dreamt of Krishna. But then if I keep doing it, then maybe one day I'll dream of Krishna. That's the goal. Is that okay? Any other question? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.